It's good to see each one of you this morning on this cold, cold morning. Let's take just a few moments and greet each other this morning before we begin. Am I on? I know we have some visitors this morning. Jody and Carrie have guests with them. This is Carrie's mom and dad from Pensacola, Florida, and it's Gary and Mally Langhammer. I did good, didn't I? Good. We are so glad. Wave to us so we know where you are. Good. Glad to have you with us this morning. Anyone else, if this might be your first time with us? Well, all right. Good to see you here. Any announcements that we need this morning?
Please do. Yeah. Same one that went last week. Also, we need two teenagers to be ready to bring in the light of the world, or the representation of the light of the world. Would you take care of that, teenagers? Session will meet tonight, meet at 4 o'clock here, and we're going to go eat. And then we'll come back here at the 6 o'clock hour for the first session meeting of the year. During the 10:15 service, we will ordain two new elders and install them along with Steve, who has already been ordained, Steve Alamore. But we will take you through what we're doing at the 10:15 hour also. We're going to talk about church leaders. And so that is appropriate for all Christians. There's a possibility of being a church leader. There's always a need, if you're not the leader, to be a good follower. Leaders can't be leaders unless somebody follows. So we'll talk about that. I think there's some... we're still celebrating Christmas, I guess, due to the weather. And we haven't got all the decorations down at this time, but if we were Eastern Orthodox, which we're not, we would still be in the 12 days of Christmas. So, because they started on the 7th. So we're, I guess, since Savetta and Yaroslav and Amelia and Anna are with us, we are letting them celebrate Christmas according to what they have been used to. So we'll bring that to your attention. It's cold. We know it is. If your Sunday school area is not warm, you might move around and find the Sunday school area. Louise, right in front of you, or right to your right, is a handout sheet concerning a Sunday school class that will start next week. Alan Stout will teach it, and we plan for the senior adult class that we started and really didn't get a big taking to join together with the sanctuary class, and Alan's going to teach it and going to use Charles Swindoll material, and that's a handout if you're in that age group, and they will meet in the sanctuary. And Alan will finish his lessons in the senior adult group this morning, and then we in the sanctuary group we'll talk about leadership, church leaders, and from a biblical perspective. So this morning my presentations are all about leaders. Sam is in Hong Kong, I guess, by now. Patrick took him to the airport, he and Nancy, yesterday morning, and put them out, and hopefully they made it. Has anybody heard? We didn't hear anything tragic, so we hope they got there. They were on standby, but they didn't call you to come get them, did they? And I think that's all the announcements for this morning. If it's not, we will just pass them up.
There
a mistake or two in the bulletin, but we will just kind of overlook them, too. Sam did that before he left. We can blame him, right?
I have somebody to blame.
Any prayer requests or praise reports this morning? Bulletin that we pause and welcome Christ, but you know, he has said that where two or three are gathered in his name, that he's in our midst, and so we do thank him that he is here. Let's bow our heads while we light our candles. To worship is found in your bulletin. If you'll stand with me, it is from Psalms 147. All creation proclaims the greatness and love of God.
God's love permeates even the deepest darkness.
The light of God shines on us with new hope.
We are called to be people of compassion and justice.
Open our hearts, O Lord, to see your light and live in your hope.
Prepare us for service to all your people and to this world. Amen.
You'll turn in your bulletin to hymn number 82. Oh, come, let us adore him. What a good song for any time of the year. Oh, come, let us adore him. Let's sing all four verses.
Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord. We'll praise his name forever. We'll praise his name forever. We'll praise his name forever. Christ the Lord. We'll give him all the glory. We'll give him all the glory. We'll give him all the glory. Christ the Lord. For he alone is worthy. For he alone is worthy. For he alone is worthy.
Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we come to express to you that we do adore you. And Lord, we can show it in so many ways, but you have called us to come together in your name, to join with fellow believers, fellow servants. And Lord, we come in that manner this morning. We come thanking you, Lord, for your greatness and praising you for your greatness, acknowledging that you are all-powerful, that you are all-strength, all-wisdom, all-knowledge, all-understanding. And Lord, we come to just thank you that you are everywhere in all the earth. Lord, thank you that we can be your people and you will be our God. And thank you, Lord, that even in your greatness, you call your creation to come before you to worship. And we thank you that we can be a part of that experience this day. And we offer ourselves in the name of Jesus.
Now praying as he taught us to pray. Our Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated.
The Apostles' Creed is a statement of what we believe. It's on the screen. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world and world.
Confession. Let us draw near to receive the living waters of Jesus' presence. Our prayer of confession is in unison. O Lord, we sit before you as unclean people. Our motives are not always pure. Our desires are not always appropriate. Our lives are not always ordered. Our actions are not always constructive. Remind us that we are your people, that you have created us, called us by name, taken us by the hand, and blessed us as your beloved children. Through the presence of your Holy Spirit, free us from all that is past, and empower us for all that awaits us in the future. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Words of assurance, let the healing stream of God's love wash over you. Let the indwelling waters of Jesus quench your thirst. Let the river of life, the renewing spirit, guide you into all truth. Amen. Turn with me to 201. Let's sing the first and the last verse, Grace Greater Than Our Sin.
Grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt, yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled.
Grace, grace, God's grace. Marvelous infinite matchless grace. and cleanse within. Great, great God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin.
Our offertory sentence is from Proverbs 3:5. Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all you produce. Will our ushers come forward?
Let's go to God in prayer. Lord God, your blessings, your fruits have been poured out to us. We thank you, and we come to return those first fruits on this day. And we pray for your help in determining where each portion will go. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Our nature here below. Praise Him above. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Scripture this morning is from Acts 2:28 and Peter 5:1-5. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's suffering, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not greedy for money, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourself with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
like for you to have at your disposal a sheet of paper with small print. I think it's number 10, but it looks very small. Try to get so much on one page, or one sheet of paper, front and back. It starts with the elders. As you fold it, it should be folded before you, and have elders at the top. Open the page, and you will see at the bottom of the next page, session. And then as you turn the page to the back page, it says judicatories, or big old word, preachers and church leaders like to use big words sometimes. So judicatories are really church courts. And that's a little scary when you talk about going to court, but the session is a church court. And then their presbytery. In the Presbyterian system, we are part of a presbytery. And presbyters are elders, represent the local church at presbytery. And then presbyteries are local churches, it's both ways, are represented in synod, at least three presbyteries. And then the presbyteries are represented in what we call General Assembly, or at least that's the way it is in the Cumberland Presbyterian Church at this time. This is one of those Sundays that we do church government. And I like it. But some people say, oh, we're doing that again. Well, is it necessary? Well, probably not necessary, but it sure is helpful. Some churches, just the minister is in charge, and he calls all the shots. And that's good for a while, but sometimes that gets to be a problem. From the preacher's side, it can be a problem. And then it can be a problem from the people's side. And one way to avoid a congregation from becoming cultish or a cult is to have leaders in the church to call the preacher's hand, so to speak. So I was raised in a church where the elders were really in charge, and pleased to be, and don't want to be anything else. Paul wrote to Timothy, in 1 Timothy 3, using these words, New International Version of Scripture. A trustworthy saying. What do you say as it is? If anyone sets his heart on being an overseer, or if anyone desires to be an overseer, he desires a noble task. A noble task to be a leader in the church. Overseer is just one word to describe the leaders in the church. And some churches use the word overseer for a person in the position that Sam is in this year in our church. We call him moderator of General Assembly. But some churches have an overseer, and sometimes it's a position that lasts more than 1 year, and being a paid position, and they oversee many churches. Or an area, kind of like we would a presbytery. What I'd like to do this morning is, as you think on terms of church leadership being a noble position, and being a noble position
We must remember we who get in that position by various means, elected by the congregation or some other means. That's really the only way we can get into the position, though. We need to understand that it's a service role or a servant role. It's not to lord your power over somebody else. So I began with a question, why church government? And why do you need leaders in the church? Or the other question, the other thought, why doesn't everyone just do as they please? And some situations, that's how people want to live. Just want to do as they please. But that is certainly opening the door for mass confusion and for Buddhist trouble. Opening the door for trouble. The Bible teaches from the Old Testament and the New Testament that some people need to be in charge. Actually, God tried to tell the people before King Saul that he was their king, and they kept insisting, but we need an earthly king. All our neighboring countries have an earthly king, and we need one too. And he permitted them to have one, and they got in trouble time and time with kings, but they had some wonderful kings, and we had some wonderful leaders. In the New Testament, we don't have the church as a political or as a national situation. It is little groups of people meeting sometimes in opposition to the government. But our Confession of Faith states, and let me share this thought with you, Jesus Christ as Lord and as head of the church. And if we can remember those two things, that Jesus is Lord, he is Lord of life, and then he is head of the church will be much, much better off. Jesus Christ as Lord and head of the church, he has entrusted the government of the church to officers who make those decisions that will guide the life and the ministry of the covenant community or of the congregation. And we're together in covenant. We have agreed to certain things, that we believe the Bible and we'll be a part of this congregation. The purpose of church government and the purpose of church leaders, it is to aid the church in performing her mission. The church has a mission to perform. The church has a mission to perform. I won't even ask, do you know what the mission is? Just let me state it. To share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Great commission. Matthew ended his gospel with Jesus instructing the disciples, the risen Jesus, instructing the disciples that he had spent time with to be on a mission. And he commissioned them to be about this mission. Matthew 28, 18, 19, and 20. He told them to go and make disciples, baptize disciples, make disciples of Jesus, make disciples of himself. He was sending them. Go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Bring them into the covenant community, bringing them into a relationship with God through himself. And then he promised to be with them always as they went. That's our mission.
It didn't stop when those 12 or 11 at that time, Judas had already fallen away. It didn't stop when they died. It was passed on down through the church, and it's our responsibility today. So we have the mission of sharing Jesus Christ, and all that the church does, hopefully, is helping people come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Now, we do so much that you have to wonder, you have to think pretty hard sometimes to figure out how that is pointing people to Jesus. How can a fundraiser point people to Jesus? Well, a fundraiser raises funds in order that we can have a building where people can assemble in Jesus' name and where the gospel can be preached. And from which we can go and be where we're challenged to go out into the world and to share the gospel. Now, somewhere along the way, the church keeps stumbling or failing to carry the gospel out into the world. We, as a church in general, we haven't been faithful in fulfilling that ministry. If you wonder, what do you mean the church hasn't been faithful in fulfilling that ministry? And think of your own life, your own witness out into the world. You are the church. We are the church together. And what witness have we made out in the world? Have we shared Jesus and who He is, and that He is the Savior of the world by our actions as well as our words out in the world that we go out into when we leave here? So the mission of the church is to share the gospel. The officers are to be leaders. We make up a session, and then we may be elected from the local church, and all the preachers in our system, the Presbytery system, are members of Presbytery. We call it, we constitute the judicatories. Boy, that's that big word of the church. And it's session, Presbytery, Synod, and General Assembly. And we have the responsibility to serve the church. We don't lord it over the church. Our responsibility is serving the church. Our neighbor and friend, Alfred Bennett, our brother Bennett as we call him, he keeps talking about students getting to seminary. And they get to seminary and they're gung-ho and they're ready to be servants of the Lord and they're ready to learn. And he talks about middle ways, the second year, three-year program normally, middle ways the second year, somewhere along the way, they determine that they are leaders and in charge. And Patrick, you will experience this. If not, I don't believe Patrick will, because he has that servant's heart. But some of them get to be in charge. And there's stories of my classmates going around, and they'd get into a church, and there would be a little disagreement between the pastor and the session, or the elders that give him direction. And one guy I think of, and I wasn't there, but the story was that he took the confession of faith and he threw it down on the table and said to the elders, "I'm the one that's been trained to lead this church, and I'm going to lead it." Well, about 2 weeks later, that pulpit was empty, and it should have been. He forgot that he was to serve and not to be served. We are to serve the church by making decisions. The church, the session, the leadership has to make some decisions that will guide the life and the ministry of the church. Otherwise, it's going this way and that direction and some other direction. People who constitute the church, courts or judicatories and their agencies should always focus on serving the church so that the church may better serve the world. Service. Church leaders, if we can always understand that it's service. And I hope I hope. I may have, from my perspective, I may have gone overboard. Because I've had this strong feeling or compulsion to be the servant. I'm trying to teach Patrick that, and he already knows it. He is willing. Patrick, we may have a job to look at this morning, you know, and with some other people that know a little more about some things than we do, than I do at least, you know. Sometimes it's, well, it's cutting grass. And we should probably never cut grass. Somebody told me one time that my cutting grass was prevented other people from doing what they could do. But the grass was growing and they were not doing it. It was getting pretty high. And one preacher, I heard, didn't see this. One preacher, he showed up, the congregation showed up one Sunday morning. And he was out front of the church cutting the grass. And they said, "Preacher, what do you mean? What do you mean?" I would not do this one. But he did, and I appreciate him doing it. "What do you mean out cutting the grass here on Sunday morning?" He said, "Well, look at how high it is. And this is not very welcoming." And I think he got the message over that somebody needed to take care of cutting the grass. Now, the Scripture does not give a detailed form of church government. But I can prove from it, from my vantage point at least, that Presbyterian form is right. It affirms a government of a connectional nature. And Acts chapter 15, why are we not just an independent church like so many churches we see around today? They're sprouting up everywhere. Why do we belong to an organization? Well, in Acts chapter 15, there were some questions happening way out in the boondocks, so to speak, out from Jerusalem. And what about Gentiles? Can Gentiles come into the church and not become Jewish? Not be circumcised? Can they come in just as Gentiles and not obey all the Jewish laws? And there was an argument. "No, they can't come in." I said, "Yeah, they can." I said, "No, they can't come in." I said, "Yeah, they can." So they took it all back to Jerusalem to find the apostles there. And they made a decision and sent this word back out to the congregations. Yes, the Gentiles can be a part of the church, but there are certain rules that they need to go by. And there are four or five rules there. I've had a terrible week of coughing. Okay, that's in it is not my judgment, therefore, that we should not make it difficult for Gentiles who are turning to God. Instead, we should write to them, telling them, here are the four things. Abstain from food polluted by idols. Any food that had been offered to idols. That's in Acts chapter 15, I think it's verse 20. From sexual immorality, abstain from it. From the meat of strangled animals, and from blood. And for Moses has been preached in every city from the earliest time and is read in the synagogues on every Sabbath. So these churches out in the far reaches of the where the gospel had gotten to, they went back and got a word. They didn't just say, "Well, this is what we believe out here. We're going to do it our way." They went back to Jerusalem. Local session, that's what we're really concerned about locally, are the basic unit of this representative form of government. Paul and Barnabas went about, Acts chapter 14, they went about the churches appointing elders in each church, and with prayer and fasting committed them to the Lord in whom they had put their trust. Time runs away. But let me say, sessions are these sessions. When the elders are meeting together, we call them the session. Or the session will meet. Or the elders will meet. They're responsible to lead the members in ministries which belong to the church. And what are the ministries, or what are the areas of service that we're supposed to be involved in? And I just say, go to Acts chapter 6. They had pooled their resources in the New Testament church in Jerusalem. And they had some Greek people and some Hebrew people. And the Greek women and the Hebrew women got jealous of one another about how they would about what they were receiving when they went for their daily handout. And being people, I'm believing that they have maybe have a legitimate gripe that somebody that they really like, or when their family came, the one who was making the distribution gave a little more. Who knows? Who knows? It's kind of a natural thing to do. And the women begin to complain. So they picked seven deacons to take charge of the distribution of the resources that they had, the food supply for each day. Now, we've gotten away from that. And that experiment did not work, but the early church tried it. They sold everything they had, put it all together, and tried to live together in the commune. Well, that finally ran its course. another statement, let me share this. To be, and that's just one thing. The number one thing that the church does is to share the gospel that Jesus Christ is Lord and He is Savior. And we all need a Savior. Being effective in ministry, be it distributing food, be it sharing the gospel, and anything else that the church does, requires a good spiritual condition. Otherwise, it just becomes a social service agency. And the church is so much more than a social service agency. If it's not, we just need to close it and let the social service agencies carry on. The church is called to worship. The church is called to offer praise to God. The church is called to assemble in God's name and come before God and lift up our voices to Him and to hear a word from God. The church is called to study. The church is called to understand the principal teachings of the Bible. The church is called upon to live together in unity. It's the elders of the church to see that this happens. The church is called upon to witness Jesus as Savior. And the church is called through the Scriptures. If we study the Scriptures and we understand our role, we will know that we're to minister to people in need. Titus, Paul wrote to him in Crete. And he said, I left you in Crete. The reason I did it was to straighten out what was left unfinished and to appoint elders in every town. And as Paul says, as he had directed Titus. An elder must be, and he tells the qualification, blameless, the husband of but one wife, a man whose children believe and are not open to the charge of being wild and disobedient. Since an overseer is entrusted with God's work, he must be blameless, not overbearing, not quick-tempered, not given to drunkenness, not violent, not pursuing dishonest gain. So, Paul is teaching the basic principles of the Christian life. And the leaders must possess them. And the church learns them, hopefully from the leaders. Not one who will fly off like my preacher, former classmate did at that meeting, but not quick-tempered. But don't we all have a problem or two that we could work on? Not pursuing dishonest gain. Rather, he must be hospitable, one who loves what is good, one who is self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, so that he can be encouraged, or so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. So sometimes the leaders of the church need to say, that's not right. They have that responsibility. Then Peter wrote to the elders among you, chapter 5, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's suffering, and as one who will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds. Be shepherds of God's flock that under your care. Be shepherds as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, when Jesus comes again, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Jesus is coming, friends. We don't know when. We don't need to know when. We're just warned over and over to be ready. Pastors and elders. Pastors and elders are responsible for exercising such pastoral care of people to enable the congregation to fulfill its mission of sharing the gospel wherever it can, whenever it can, and taking care of the needy. Another statement taken from the Confession of Faith, 5.33. These officers have the responsibility to serve the church, to examine and receive members into the communion of the church, to care for and nurture them in the faith, to discipline with love and justice those who offend the gospel and the laws of the church. Now, the piece of paper that I asked you about. Here's what we're going to do at the 10:15 hour. If you'll turn inside, or turn to the front page, elders. Most of this information here is for just for information, taken from the Confession of Faith. If you don't have one and would like one, I'll get you one. If you'll just say the word, write on a note card would be helpful, and I'll get you even a blue one. Blue one's got a few things in it that the old maroon one did not have in the Constitution part, the Statement of Beliefs. But this is from the Constitution part. And about halfway down on that page where elders is at the top, it says the election and the ordination and the installation of elders and deacons. Well, we're talking about elders today. In five questions, an elder has to state in the affirmative that he believes in the scriptures of the Old and New Testament to be God's inspired word, the authority for faith and practice. He adopts this confession of faith of the Cumberland Presbyterian Church as containing the essential doctrines taught in the Holy Scriptures in the Bible. He approves of and promises to uphold the government as found in the Constitution section of the Confession of Faith. He promises to promote the peace, the unity, and the purity of the church. And in participating as an elder in the judicatories, that could be presbytery, could be synod, or it could be general assembly, they promise to share in the responsible way the decisions that are made, to abide by the decisions, and to promote the welfare of the church. And then, number six, they accept the office of elder in this church and promise faithfully to discharge all the duties thereof as God may enable them. We've chosen as the closing hymn, "Rise Up, O Church of God." Rise up, O Church of God. So as a church, let's rise up and let's sing. And Peggy, we sing verse 1 and 3. Other verses are important, but for the sake of time, and that really says what we need to be saying. So stand up with us and let's sing. Rise up, O Church of God. You've already risen up, or you will be, but let's call to the total covenant community, all Christians everywhere, to rise up and make the kingdom great in this world.
Rise up, O Church of God, have done with lesser things. Give heart and soul and mind and strength to serve the King of Kings. Rise up, O Sons of God, the church for you doth wait. Her strength unequal to her test, rise up and make her great.
Welcome our visitors again. Glad you're with us this morning and glad to see all of you. Lord God, send us forth as your people, being the church out into the world, our area of service, in Christ's name. Amen. You are